Well, in some developing news this afternoon, Israel's military has taken control of the Palestinian side of the Rafah crossing in Gaza. In a briefing with journalists, an IDF spokesperson confirmed Israeli soldiers are now on the ground inside Rafah, Gaza's southernmost city, with troops scanning the area backed up by tank forces. The IDF claims it has new information that Hamas militants have been operating from the Rafah crossing area. It comes after Israel rejected a ceasefire proposal, which has been accepted by Hamas. I spoke to the ABC's international editor, John Lyons, a short time ago.
Andy,
what exactly is the situation in Rafah right now?
Well, Andy, the latest that we're getting in the last few hours is that the Israeli military with tanks are moving to the south of Rafah. In other words, right on the border there, there's the big sort of entrance, the big gate at Rafah that leads into Egypt at the very most southern point of Gaza. And reports, credible reports, are saying the Israeli army have moved in there with tanks, which would suggest that they're encircling Rafah, and also it would suggest that they're trying to ensure that any of the remaining Hamas militants who are in Rafah cannot then escape and get through into Egypt. It looks like they're trying to essentially encircle and strangle the Hamas fighters inside Rafah.
There was the suggestion that certainly from the IDF that these were targeted strikes as well. I mean, that doesn't sound particularly targeted. Have they been?
Well, in the last few days, Israel has been making a number of attacks, aerial attacks on Rafah, and it looks like they're preparing to use special operations forces. I'm not sure. I don't think we will see the large, dramatic land invasion that where we see hundreds or thousands of troops. I think what will happen is they're trying to clear the eastern parts of Rafah. They're trying to get those people to move up north and then across to the beach there, to a place called Al-Mawasi, and they're going to expand that humanitarian area, which is code for we won't bomb a larger area right on the beach. We've seen pictures of those tents. They're wanting the 100,000 or so people who live in the eastern part of Rafah to go there. Now, that in itself is problematic, with communications are down. There's about 600,000 children in Rafah. It's about 1.3 million people have squeezed in there. So amidst this chaos, the Israelis are saying that we've come up with a credible plan, which is significant because President Biden has said repeatedly the Israelis should not make a ground invasion of Rafah, which is the last remaining uninvaded part of Gaza, without a credible plan to protect civilians. And I think the Israelis will argue what they're doing now is a credible plan.
So let's talk about these latest negotiations, which Hamas did agree to. Israel said the deal did not meet its core demands. What in particular wasn't agreeable for the Israeli side?
The key sticking point has been the immediate release of those 136 hostages who were still kept there. They were taken on October 7 by Hamas and other groups. And tragically, we think about 30 to 40 of those people are dead. That's according to the Israeli army. Expect, you know, say that as many as 30 or 40 of them have died in captivity. So there's about 80 or 90 still alive. And the Israelis want those immediately, whereas Hamas is arguing that it should be staggered, that it should be a staggered release of hostages over some weeks or a couple of months, maybe 30 and then 20 and then 30. Whereas the Israelis are saying it's unconditional. Hand over 136 live or the remains of those hostages, or else it's non-negotiable. That's the main sticking point.
And to clarify this, with or without this ceasefire deal, would it have changed the direction of the war in Israel's view? I mean, in their mind, Hamas needs to be wiped out.
Well, Gaza is essentially now largely in ruins, in rubble. So, you know, much of it's been destroyed. It's now, the UNICEF says it's a graveyard for children. So at some point, the steam will run out of the Israeli army's ability to go in there and do more. The problem, the political problem problem for Benjamin Netanyahu is that Hamas is still operating. We saw only 2 days ago Hamas fired rockets towards the Kerem Shalom crossing and killed 3 Israeli soldiers. Now, in a way, that was devastating for the Israeli public, because it shows that after 7 months, 212 days of war, that the strongest military in the Middle East has spent more than 7 months now pounding this tiny strip that's half the size of Canberra, and yet Hamas still has capability, and Hamas's leader, Yahya Sinwar, is still on the loose somewhere, probably in a tunnel, probably around Rafah, and that's their real prize. If the Israelis can get his scalp, and they want him alive or dead, then in a way they can then use that to say, we have finally demolished Hamas.
Governments around the world, our own, but particularly the US government, reiterated concern about the invasion of Rafah. Angry words aside, could we see Biden resort to any other options when it comes to censure of the Israelis?
I don't think President Biden, facing an election, wants to take on the supporters of Israel in America. And there is pressure, although the president himself keeps saying it's indiscriminate bombing and we're very nervous about an invasion of Rafah. It's being done, the bombing's being done with American bombs. So America could stop this war tomorrow if it wanted to. It could just cut off the supply of bombs. Israel exhausted its supply of bombs months ago. So all the bombs being dropped now in Gaza are essentially American bombs. So we have this bizarre situation where if you're a child in Gaza and you look up at the sky, it may be an American aid package, because it's the Israelis, it's very hard to get aid into Gaza, or it may be an American bomb. So I don't think Israel will listen to the United States on this. Likewise, they won't listen to some of their closest neighbours in the area, some of their allies, Jordan, Egypt, for example, Saudi Arabia, who wants to do a peace deal with Israel. All of those three. Jordan has issued a statement in the last few hours saying another massacre of the Palestinians is in the making. Failure to prevent the massacre will be an indelible stain on the international community. Too many mistakes have been allowed. Enough. Egypt, likewise, Saudi Arabia has said that it rejects the occupation forces, continued blatant violations of all international resolutions calling for the cessation of these massacres. Now, that's a country with whom Israel really wants to make a normalisation agreement. So Israel is copping pressure from all around the place, but internally a stronger pressure on Benjamin Netanyahu is from two ministers on the far right of his own government who can bring down his coalition. His survival. One of them is Ben-Gavir, and the other one is Smotrich. One's the finance minister, one's the minister for home affairs. They're far right, and they are saying no deal with Hamas. Let's go all the way and demolish Hamas once and for all. And Benjamin Netanyahu is bowing to the stronger of the pressures.
Just lastly, you mentioned Egypt as well. I mean, this movement of up to 1.4 million Palestinians closer to the Rafah crossing will undoubtedly put pressure on Egypt.
Well, it's interesting. In the last few weeks, Egypt has fairly quietly, it hasn't had a lot of media coverage, has been building their own wall in case the people of Gaza breached that Rafah crossing we were talking about before. They've built their own wall. They are insisting that they don't want the 2.3 million people of Gaza to spill over into the Sinai and become their problem. Then they've got a huge humanitarian refugee crisis on their hands. So they are saying, we will not allow these people to come in. So, but on the other hand, Egypt and Israel have this strange sort of security relationship where they both have to agree on who goes in and out through that Rafah crossing. But Egypt is clearly worried, and they're talking about any invasion of Rafah could threaten more than 1 million Palestinians. Most countries want this to end quickly, including the United States.
International editor John Lyons, always a pleasure. Thanks for the update.
Thanks, Andy.
And I did seek an interview from the Israeli ambassador to Australia, the Israeli Defence Forces, and an Israeli government spokesperson. None were available.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.